Everybody who is able to stand, be standing with me. I'm going to have you stand a while because you didn't stand. 11:29. We're going to find a term in this verse of not discerning the Lord's body. But we're going to talk about this morning discerning the Lord's body. We're going to turn it into what I believe the Lord wants. Paul was teaching his lessons, eight things that these Corinthians was doing. And one of them was they were not recognizing the significance of Jesus' broken body and his shedded blood, or of the cross, what happened at the cross. That's where that came from. Jesus' broken body and shedded blood came from a manifestation of what took place when he died on the cross. That's what that communion is all about. We're going to deal with the word discerning in many ways. I got my iPad because I wanted the Amplified Bible and the Message Bible also to give us clear discrimination this morning. We need to discriminate ourselves from normal people. You know, here we talk about all natural discrimination. But there should be spiritual discrimination. We should be. There are some things that we should refuse to let manifest or partake of our lifestyle. So in reading this verse, I want to read this verse in two different ways. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and I'll deal with that word unworthily, because we so long have thought that was me trying to get myself right. Unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now the Lord's body consists of your body, the body of Christ, the ministry gifts. All of those things are part of the Lord's body, but not discerning the Lord's body. Now, in the Amplified Bible, that voice read, let's see, verse 29, for anyone who eats and drink without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation. And see, if you discriminated, recognize, look, I got it highlighted in my iPad, see. Discriminating. Well, you can't discriminate if you don't know the difference. Recognizing with due appreciation. See, when there's this bread and this cup, there's a certain amount of appreciation you have to have. That it is Christ's body, eat and drink a sentence and a verdict of judgment upon himself. Let's see. I want to show you something there. Look back at verse 26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you with me? Yes. Watch what it says now. I'm reading out the Amplified Bible. You are representing. And signifying. And proclaiming something. You got it? See, you're representing. See, in a few minutes we're gonna take up this table. We'll have this cup. Every time we're representing somebody. We're representing something. We're getting a divine signal, and we're proclaiming something to ourselves, to Satan, and to the world that we have been delivered. I don't care what kind of symptom I have. I know my sentence is delivered. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. All right? Okay, so that's so important. And now let me read, and I may let you sit down. Let me read from the Messenger Bible. Some people have problem with the Messenger Bible because it says it's too plain and too clear and too much. Take something away from it, but it doesn't. You got to know what you're doing. Look at the 27th verse now. And I'm reading from the Messenger Bible, so it's going to say some in different ways. I'll tell you what when I get to the next verse. Verse 27. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently. That's a word you need. Irreverently. That's a word you need. See, unworthily is not talking about your ability. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know why you're doing it. Now, why this? It's because this is coming in my spirit. You need to know who you're doing. In taking communion, you're doing Jesus. Now watch what it says. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. See, if you're eating it and you don't know what you're doing, and you go many years, the body of Christ have gone through this and have not understood that they were signifying something, representing somebody, and proclaiming something. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? So he says in the next verse 28, examine your motive. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Verse 29 in our text. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. But this thing is something, boy. It's sacred, see? Verse 30 said that's why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. Verse 31 in the Message Bible says, if we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. You may be seated. So we want to talk about discerning the Lord's body from verse 29. Discerning means being clear-sighted. Being clear-sighted about this. What we're about to partake of, we need to be clear-sighted. We need to have insight on what this table means. So when one become insightful, that means a certain amount of wisdom you must have about this bread and this cup. That wisdom gives you divine insight to what properly belongs to you. Not only do the word discern mean a clear-sighted, insighted, insightful, but it's a word that denotes the fact of knowing something. Discern mean knowing it. Having the right perception. Perceiving. See, perceiving is a word, but yet it carries a spiritual attribute with it. Jesus said, Jesus perceived what they were thinking. Then another word is discerning the Lord's body is being sensitive. Now I went to a little English on this because the antonym now for this word discerning the Lord's body, is disregard. Now, one of the most disregarding factors in the world is ignorance. If you're ignorant of something, you can be in a palatial home or in a palatial car, or you can be in a presence of a dignified woman who carry herself right, and you handle like a regular woman, or like a horse or a mule or something. And you need to, because you don't respect it, because you don't know what she is. Some of y'all got some and don't know it. Disregard. Neglectful. My God, I don't want to take communion neglectfully. Negligent. Overlooking your healing, your salvation, your longevity, your joy, your peace. This communion represents all that. Jesus saying to you, every time you take it, I did it. You got it. Go with it. Nobody can stop you. Let me show you something. Let me show you something right here. Turn to Colossians 2, verses 14 and 15. Everything that is against you, everything that has been against you, and everything that is coming up against you in the future has already been nailed to the cross. You are every demon master. See. He nailed it. So if you something jump on you next week, you say, hey, he nailed it. And I'm about to nail you with some truth right now. I'm about to nail you. You going back to that cross where you're supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be bearing you. He nailed it. Look at it. I want you to look at it a minute. Look at it a minute. And I got to get to something. Wait a minute. I got to get to something. Hallelujah. Y'all going to help me today? Yes. I told you to turn to Colossians, right? Yes. I want to show you that right quick. I don't just 2 and 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Underline that. Woo! Woo! Say, nail it. Then it went to the cross. Everything that can be brought against me is already nailed to the cross. Jesus have paid for every victory, every dominion, every triumph, every conquering position I can go in. It's already, come on here. It's already paid for. He nailed it to the cross. All my sin, all my failures, all my mistakes, all my shortcomings, every mistake I ever made is already nailed to the cross. Well, somebody said, yeah, but what about Satan? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the 15th verse. I'm glad you asked, what about Satan? The devil behind me. The devil don't want to be behind you. There's 15th verse now. Let's see what happened with Satan then. And having robbed, spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly. Now look at the last part of this verse. He's talking about you. It's you. It's you. I want you to begin right now to triumph over everything that tells you you're not going to make it. Every lie that's telling you you are a failure and you should be further up the road, saying you're a lie, I'm going right now. It's time for the children of God to live triumphant life. God, Jesus died for you to live in triumph. Dominion, victory, as an overcomer. We will have heaven to its visitation this morning. Now this word keep, go back to 1 Corinthians. This word for keep coming in 1 Corinthians. What is there for? They're waiting to put my, I'm going to try something new. They're waiting to put my first point on the board. I haven't got to it yet. I told them I might get to one, two. I always have several. I got six in a prophecy. So the prophecy is number seven. Lord, I sure wish you'd get to them. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians, right?
Yes,
all right, now. You go back up verse 23. See the first word there? For. I'm just going to skip it. I don't want to get them all. Look in verse 30. See the first word there? Huh? And then there are other places it is within the verse. What is 30 what? 31. See the word for? Now that little word for is meaning the consequence of the fact that it means as long, because, being, considering, in as much. It goes on and on. The word. This is why it happened. Consider this. It's something to consider. All right? Are you with me? We're talking about the son and the law and body. And let me read the first description that I need to give you a description here in discerning. When you discern the law and body, you're discerning the mystery of communion is a spiritual transaction. The mystery of communion is a spiritual transaction. Listen to me now. And everybody can know it. Those who do not have a covenant can't know this. It's only for covenant people. It's a spiritual transaction. And what has to happen, the Holy Spirit will unfold your spirit, or will unfold to your spirit the glorious meaning of partaking from the Lord's table. These times of revelation will change your life forever. You will never be the same in life. Watch it. Listen. For your real life is being laid out before you at this time. How you should be living. What you should be having. So the first point I want to deal with discerning the Lord's body is my body broken for you. My body broken for you. Let's look at the, my body is broken for you. You see that on the board? All right, that's the first point. I want to give you some scriptures under that so you can understand. What we're doing with discerning the Lord's body, I give you a lot of answers. There's something I was looking for. I need to find. My body broken for you. Wait a minute. Some words I want to give you before I go to this verse. I give you representing, signifying, proclaiming, right? Discriminating, recognizing, appreciating. We're talking about the Lord's Supper now. Here's the words that have scared us so much. Unworthy. Guilty. Damnation. Weak. Sickly. Dead, judged. That's enough to scare you. That's all in 1 Corinthians, you know. And that's the only side we've been looking at. Trying to get right to take communion. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, my body is broken for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is what? What is what? Broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So, Isaiah 53 tell you about it. His wound is for our transgression, proof of our iniquity. We'll finally get to it, okay? Then I read you Colossians 2:15. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, because here's another aspect I want to explain. Well, for whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup, you with me? Of the Lord unworthily. Now, do you have a sense of what unworthily mean now? What did I say? Irreverently? Not understanding. That's what it means. It don't mean. See, you can't get right enough to take communion. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. So our righteousness is in him. Wherefore, verse 27 now, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. You see that word? Unworthily. Shall be, now this is what I want you to see, shall be guilty. See, that's another word. Shall be guilty of the, ain't nobody won't be guilty. And shall be guilty, you can't even enjoy your communion. Guilty, unworthy, damnation, weak. If you don't rightly divide the word, you're just ducking every 5 minutes, you're ducking. You see, because what he's trying to tell you, you need a revelation, none of these things can touch you. And be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Ain't nobody got no time for this now, being guilty. I come here to take communion, now I got to come here, I'm guilty. See, if you don't write and divide the word, you're gonna be guilty. You did something wrong last week. Then you got to get dead. See, I might drop dead or get sick. This communion, man, I don't know if it's good for me or bad for me. I ain't taking. Some people pass it on by. I've seen it in the Baptist church. I'm not taking today. Pass it on by. Scared. Because they don't understand. I'm not taking communion today. Not today. Then you got to take communion every Sunday, Lord Jesus. How long is this going to be? How long I got to be right? I ain't going this Sunday. Let's look at point number two. Your body now belong to me. Romans chapter 12. Come on, Romans chapter 12. Your body now belong to me. See, when he's talking about this son in the body of Christ, it's talking about the church, but it also talking about your body. Your body. Think about it now. If my body belongs to the Lord, and if I can talk to him about my body that belonged to him, and if he can do anything, my body is in a good place. See? So you have to discern. When you discern the body of Christ, you're not only discerning the church, but you're discerning your body as the body of Christ. See, that's more respect now. There's more expectation now. Come on, talk to me. If my body is the body of Christ, I can expect more from my body. But Romans 12:1 said, now I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body. See, I have to present it to him as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Got to present it to him. And you're not going to do it with a sideway mind. Your mind has something to do with your body. So that's why he tells us in the second verse, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Talking about renewing it with the word of God, renewing it with the spirit of God, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When you do that, then you got divine rights. And then pride and arrogance, that third voice, Romans 12:3, is telling me, don't be high-minded now. Hold up. God dealt to every man the measure of faith. You work with that measure of faith and don't be high-minded. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let me ask you a question. And I don't need no accolades, you understand? But let me ask you a question. How many of you all doing this series on the communion have learned some thing that you didn't know? What is this? Keep your hand up a minute. So this is helping. It helped my study and helped my prayer. Okay, that's great. That's great. I mean you're catching on something. And so I'm going to keep teaching until I run out, until the Holy Ghost stops telling me, because I want you to be really informed about this, because this is a major role in our lives as Christians. All right? I think many of us are going to be healed here. Because you represent, my body is the temple. I think it's 1 Timothy. My body is the, 1 Corinthians 3. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 6:20 says. Look what it says. Look what it says. You are bought with a price. Therefore, make God look bad with your body, and you just make God look like he don't know what he's doing. Just let the enemy have your body. No, he said you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify. Well, what kind of body you think would glorify God? Huh? Healthy body? Huh? And that come with choices. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. Notice what it said then. Which are God. So in that discerning the Lord's body, my body is included too. He gave his body for my body. So we're dealing with your body now belong to me. Now we get to the third aspect I want you to see about this. In your body is where I live on earth. Now you go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. In your body. In your body is where I live on earth. Don't you think I want to take care of where I live? Let me take care of it for you. In your body. So you have to discern that. Is where I live on earth. Read 1 Timothy 3:16. What it says? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Wait a minute. All y'all got Bibles? I told you the wrong scripture. Let me get the right scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1, 2, 3. Read. Your body. All right, let me hurry. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. Let me hurry. Let me go to something else. Wait a minute. Hold up. Number four. Discerning the body of Christ. Now turn to Ephesians 1 right quick. Discerning the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Discerning the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Watch this now, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what, number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? And number three, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty, that's the cross right there, working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also, and has put all things under his feet. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Turn to Luke 10, 19. See, you the body of Christ. He has put all things under your feet. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpent and scorpion, and the power of the enemy shall do you no harm. See, the enemy, he's given you that power, you that authority. When you take this communion, it's to remind you of who you really are. Behold, I give you power. I give you power to tread on serpent that receives her and scorpion over all the power of the enemy. Why? Because I'm the church. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm not no member of no denomination. I'm not no member of no religion. I'm not no member of no tradition. I'm a member of the blood-bought church. Whatever the scriptures say about the church is talking about me. Whatever the scriptures say the church can have, I can have. Look at three people and tell them, I'm healed. Because I'm the church. I'm not no sinner saved by grace. I am a saint. Wait, let me help you. Let me tell you, you can't say that on the basis of how good you are. You got to say this on the basis of the cross and the blood work of Jesus. Then you say, I'm a saint. See, where we get this thing based on our goodness. No, it started with a G, but it's G-R-A-C-E. I am what I am because of the grace of God. I'm messed up, but God specializes in dealing with mess. Woo. I believe I'm going to forgive myself first. And I'm not going to let nobody else condemn me. They're not my savior. Because sometimes church members become God. Pointing their finger and jigging on me because I made a mistake. And it's supposed to be let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Sinner said, man, you're going to make it. Christian said, you're going to hell. Sinner said, man, I would tell you come take a drink, but I know you don't drink, but you're going to make it. I'll take one for you. See, that's discerning the body of Christ. You discern it when your brother mess up. You discern it when your sister. You ain't no judge. You're an intercessor. Go get a table, Mac. Discerning. Now we've got to discern now. The Holy Spirit got to help us. You cannot discern. You cannot have insight on this table with white cloth on it, with civil containers coming out here. That's not it. I see that. But I'm asking the Lord to open your eyes for you to see that you are. Ooh, Lord, help me. That you are the body of Christ. That you forgive them. That I've set you free. Go and sin no more. Go with the intention, I'll never do that again. If you do it again, get up with the same intention. I'll never do it again. You do it again. Get up. I'll never do it again. Nobody got time to be guilty around up in here. Guilty. And the Bible says, Bible say repent. He ain't said be guilty. He said, you know what repent means? Yeah, yeah, what it means. Going the other way. Clear-sighted, insightful, knowing, perceptive, sensitive, wise. How many Christians I got in here? Hold your hand up high. I'm going to see you. I'm about to make a statement to you. Every one of y'all deserve to go to this table. Why? Because when you walk is not you walking. He who paid for it is walking up here through you. And I believe he's processing you as you go to the table. No, this is no license to sin. This is a license to be free. Now, Father, we sanctify this table by prayer and thanksgiving and praise and honor that your children are coming to a clear understanding that the enemy is already.